Hey, Jake.
Yes, sir.
Did you know it is our anniversary month?
How long have we been married?
No, the show.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I did know
the
that,
show's
actually.
Anniversary. We are turning 6 years old, and to celebrate that...
We're going to first grade.
Close. We're giving a discount on our Patreon. If you join the year-long subscription to the Patreon, you can get 15% off during the month of May. You can find out everything about our Patreon at patreon.com/thecritshow. But all tiers for the month of May are 15% off when you sign up for the annual membership. Is that as exciting as first grade?
You know, now that I'm kind of remembering back to first grade, that's far better than first grade.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. Very good. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Crit Show contains elements of horror, fantasy violence, and adult language. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
This last weekend, I was part of a pirate murder mystery.
I saw some photos of that. I'm so jealous. How was it?
It was great. So I went to what they call CritCon. It was the second one. It's just a bunch of folks on our Patreon who get together and they rent like a cabin or an Airbnb and they make a game schedule and they have group meals and they do it once a year just to get together and see each other and play games. It's people from all over the country and they invited us this year and I had the opportunity to go. And yeah, on Saturday night, we did a pirate themed murder mystery. And it was really cool the way it was structured because everybody got an envelope at the beginning of the night. You already knew who you were. And the envelope gave you a couple of objectives and it told you if you are the person who is murdered.
Okay.
So then you go through that first play chunk. Everybody kind of does their objectives. And then at some point the lights went out, lights came up, person's dead. At that point you get a second envelope and it lets you know what your new objectives are and if you were the murderer.
Okay.
And it was nice because the person who was killed gets a new role as the investigator that comes in. So they had like an extra costume piece for that person to put over their pirate costume.
Sweet.
So yeah, it was a good time. And they brought prizes for like best performance and best costume. There was a whole mechanic in it of using money that you got to bribe secrets out of people. And that was the one I was like, I'm going to see how much money I can get. So in this story, I had a secret I was trying to keep. I didn't want anybody to know about it. Turns out the guy who knew it was the one who was murdered. So as soon as he was murdered, I started selling every secret I had to anybody who would talk to me.
So were you the murderer?
I was not.
I find that hard to believe.
I know, but I did end up with the most amount of money. So
it's
nice for once.
Speaking of pirates, I'm supposed to run a 5K this weekend.
Mm.
And it's sponsored by a brewery, and either the brewery or the beer is pirate themed.
Oh.
So the race is vaguely pirate themed. And I was like, oh man, I should dress as a pirate. And like, I mean, for like 5 seconds, I had that thought.
Yeah.
Before I was like, I can't run this in shorts and running shoes, let alone in fucking riding boots and
a sword.
Yeah, like maybe
a bandana and a sash.
Yeah.
Anything else is going to be cumbersome.
The bandana is functional just to keep all the sweat out of my eyes and face and mouth.
Yeah.
And mouth. There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot coming off the top there and it's got to go somewhere. There's too much just like the construction of my brow is insufficient to get all the sweat out of my way.
We're starting to get towards the end of the season, which means I'm always kind of thinking about what like little game I might want to run for everybody between seasons since we've kind of started doing that. And this weekend, we played a game called Bar the Windows, bolt the doors, and it's a mix of an RPG and a board game. You are people on a vacation. The map that we played on was a cabin, but I bought it the other day, and there's a couple other, there's like an abandoned mine and a burned down mansion. So you all kind of make a little bit of a relationship. You decide, you know, who is your favorite person there, who's your least favorite person, but you're all a group of people who know each other. You're all friends or work acquaintances. And you pick a special move, and then you pick some defining qualities, some adjectives about yourself. And then the cabin is invaded, and you shuffle a deck of cards and flip a card to decide what it is that's invading. So we ended up going against a cult. And what's really cool about the game is that, so you have like 2 points that you can do every round, and moving up to three rooms is a point, searching is a point, fighting is a point, but it causes you distress. There's, you know, 7 or 8 things that you can do, and each one of them is an action. You get 2 actions a turn. And then the cultists and all the monsters in the game in general have their own mechanics. So like playing against something else other than the cultists, the experience would not be at all the same. But like the cultists had as many moves each round as there were players, and they could only move one room at a time. But the thing about them that they got as a bonus was for every action that they didn't use out of, in this instance, it was 7, they regenerate a number of cultists equal to that.
Oh, man.
And so then the creature is dead once they have used all of their like monstrous points. And so like attacking someone uses 1, moving does not use 1, breaking a barricade uses 1. There's a handful of things. So at one point it was like, oh, we're doing great. And then the creature didn't have anything to do that round, and they spawned 6 new people, and you roll a die to see what room they spawn in. So all of a sudden, like, people started coming through the windows and the floorboards. It got bad real fast.
Boy, that's like that Betrayal at House on the Hill game we played, that somebody could keep respawning their brood or whatever.
So yeah, it was a very fun game. So I'm thinking that might be what I run for everybody.
What's it called?
Bar the Windows, Bolt the Doors.
Let me hit you with this, and let me bring it back around to what we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Expansion-themed pirates. Bar the windows, batten the hatches.
Uh-huh.
The monster is pirates. The setting is a ship.
Yes.
You got to survive the raid.
Nice.
Hey, company that makes this game, go ahead and reach out to me. I'm willing to negotiate a deal. It's Jake at thecritshowpodcast.com. My fee is very reasonable. You're all standing in this dark, narrow stretch of tunnel where a glob of something has fallen from the ceiling above you and seems to just be sort of melting away at the stone beneath your feet.
I'll raise the lantern up higher so we can see what's happening.
On the ceiling above you, you see a snake. It's a big snake. There's a trend here of small things getting big when they get corrupted.
It's like the opposite of what I like. I like tiny, big things got tiny, small. Yeah, I like tiny versions of things that are usually regular sized. Can we get a tiny snake in here?
Can we get a bear the size of a mole?
Maybe. If
oh my
good.
God, like a baby bear.
Maybe if you're all on good behavior.
Wait a minute. How is the snake on the ceiling? What's it holding on to? Does it have legs? That's not a snake.
Let me finish describing the snake. It's like 15 feet long.
I don't think we're earning our bear mole.
It's mostly like a light gray brown with a darker like gray brown pattern on it. Looks like a sidewinder, just substantially larger. How it's holding on to the ceiling is unclear. Its belly appears to be on the ceiling. Its head is just hanging down a little bit with an open mouth. You can see the venom dripping from its fangs, and it seems like that is what has hit the ground in between you. The ceiling where it is holding on, you can also see becoming pitted, like it's dissolving, like this venom is also excreting from its belly somehow.
Oh, maybe it's like its whole body is like one octopus tentacle and it's got a bunch of suckers to hold on.
Or thousands of little millipede legs.
Again, it's on a ceiling though. What are those holding on to?
Oh, I mean, millipedes can go on ceiling, can't they?
But they're so tiny. I don't understand. I want to know, but also I think I think... in character, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
What do you want to do about it?
Bring the lantern back down so I don't have to see it.
It's best we don't see this.
Was the snake looking at us? Or is it just like sleeping with its mouth open?
Yeah, no, it's very much looking at you.
It's sleeping with its mouth open.
Perhaps I haven't.
So, okay, some people sleep with their mouths open and drool while they sleep. So I thought maybe this was a similar situation. Some people, not me, okay, maybe me, drool in their sleep. So maybe the snake would do the same.
I see. I don't think I'm painting a sufficient picture of the severity of the situation.
What do you mean you've dealt with this before?
Silas dive tackles you. And as you hit the ground, that snake's head hits, impacts right where you were just standing a moment before.
Oh my goodness.
And Silas says, it's come to the bubble before. It's one that definitely hangs around down here, and it's tried to get in. I've seen it try and crawl on the magic and seen that ooze come off of it, and like it's trying to eat through, but it hadn't been able to. But you all see it. I mean, it recoils back up to the ceiling and seems to be considering its next strike.
Is it still like drooling venom?
Yes.
I would like to draw my rifle and blast some magic in its open mouth.
Okay.
Yes.
Why don't you roll to go weird at a level 4?
Okay. 7. And I think what I'm trying to do is like see if I can knock out some fangs, like the ones that are dripping this poison.
Okay. You fire a blast of magic up into its mouth, trying to dislodge its fangs, and one of them does come loose. It doesn't come out. It's like it's dangling from the nerve of the tooth.
Ah!
So it won't be able to bite you with that one fang. However, it does also seem way more pissed off now than it did a moment ago.
Sure.
It hisses and recoils a bit, but you can see like the shape of the nose of it, like snarling at you now.
I want to try to rehash what I've been doing to some of the people we've snuck up on, where I kind of give them vertigo and disorient their equilibrium. But because the snake is on the ceiling already and like looking down at us, I want to kind of mess with what is up, what is down, throw it off its game.
All right, same deal. Roll to go weird at level 4.
10.
All right, you brain blast this thing and it falls from the ceiling and starts like rolling. Like, you know, it's trying to be right side up, but it doesn't know what right side up is. So, you know, have you seen like those snakes that play dead and they like flip on their back when you flip them on their front?
Yeah, what does its underside look like?
Goopy. Mm-hmm. It is covered in a thin sheen of this same like green viscous venom.
I may have made it more dangerous for us to traverse this area. Damien is not going to be happy if I snake dissolve his jacket, so.
Yeah, it's just rocketing back and forth and splashing this shit all over everything. Had it not been a full success, I think that would be true.
Can you describe, like, the chamber or the cavern that we're currently in right now? Like, how tall was the ceiling that this snake thing was on?
You are down to about a 10-foot diameter.
Okay, pretty small. Any like stalactites or anything up at the top that the snake was like winding its way around?
No stalactites, nothing like particularly sizable. It does seem like somehow it's just able to adhere to surfaces. The whole surface is though kind of jagged and sharp from the pitting that its venom is leaving behind.
Would it be possible to try to lasso a part of the ceiling of this cavern that looks particularly sharp and see if I can drop it down onto this snake creature?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this will be a roll for the rope trick.
Yeah.
And just kind of at the mercy of gravity for how much damage it does.
For sure, yeah.
Give me a rope roll.
7.
Okay. You lasso a particularly sharp jutting chunk of the ceiling and rip it down. And it falls onto the snake. You see it not like stab clean through, but it hits heavy. It pierces a bit. You hear it kind of hiss in pain again. But your lasso lands across a bit of that venom and it starts to wear away at the fibers of your lasso. You know that this has compromised the structure. It's not going to be as sturdy. Might not last through another swinging your whole body around or anything like that.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Reslayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Seeing what Kim has done, I want to take a shot directly above its head and see if I can get some of the ceiling to fall on it.
Okay. You tell me the scale of this. How much ceiling, like, do you want to bring down? Because I'll let you decide what level you're going weird at based on how devastating you want this to be.
Can you give me a like an idea of like, oh yeah, man, a six is pool table size?
Or... I think similar to the size constraints for like a creature you would harm at that level.
Okay.
Like if you do this at a weird level five, you'll bring down a chunk of rock the size of a horse.
Perfect.
That?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll it.
I was going to go locomotive, but that seems like overkill.
That sounds like a cave in.
Yeah.
They're also in here.
11.
Okay. You blast the ceiling and a huge amount of this pitted rock falls. It tumbles on top of this giant sidewinder and buries it for the most part. You can still see bits of its coils like peeking out through the rock. You can still see that it is working to extricate itself. And bit by bit, like that rock is shifting. If left alone, it will probably get loose eventually. But for the moment, it's truly pinned.
While it's pinned under these rocks, I want to take off my belt and use telekinesis to try and belt around its mouth.
Okay. Give me a nerve roll to confidently maneuver the danger of this thing's bite.
Six. I've got 1 point of grit.
What could you invoke to make this a success?
I think it's my goal, kind of like I had said before, where I know that these are just all animals that have been made this way because of what Nash has done to this world. The effect that this corruption is having on them is in no way their fault. And I don't really want to like punish them or kill them if we don't have to. So if this is a way that I can restrain it and keep it from attacking us without having to kill it, then I want to take that opportunity.
Okay. Spend your point of grit. You levitate the belt out and the bit of its snoot that's poking out from under the rocks is still like, it's licking at the air and it's occasionally like trying to open its mouth and get a bite at what it can't really see or perceive. But you manage to time it out and get that belt secured around its mouth and it is no longer able to open it. What do you guys want to do? You've got it pinned. It can't currently move and it can't currently bite. You know that it's covered in a corrosive substance. So eventually if it did nothing, it would become free again.
We should go, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to get out of here. After some time, but hopefully we can take care of what we need to before then.
Kim, I know that you've made animals see or feel things before. Can you make it think that we're a threat that it doesn't want to mess with in the future because of what we just did to it?
Sure. Yeah. Let's try.
Okay. Kim, go weird at level 3.
8.
All right. And what are you putting in its head? What are you showing it?
I'm trying to
flood this snake's brain with visions of myriad possible futures in which it encounters us. And every time it meets us, it just, like, bad things are happening to it. It just keeps getting hurt every time it encounters us.
Okay. You put these visions in its head. As you do, I think there's just a little bit of, like, the residue of that fear comes off of it and stays behind in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to take a -1 to your next weird roll, whatever
sure.
it is. But this thing underneath the rocks, it shrinks in. All those exposed parts pull in. It seems like it coils up to, like, hide beneath its pile of rubble and won't be pursuing you.
I think I spooked it.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, good. Okay, let's keep moving because that belt is definitely going to hold it for a while, but some of that venom leaking out, I'm sure, will release eventually.
Jumbo helps Silas up off the ground. You can tell that he's a little bit more banged up, having done a dive tackle in his condition, but he steels himself and gets his arm around Jumbo again. It's not much farther now, and he presses on. The rest of the walk is uneventful. No further creatures lash out at you, whether because they are appropriately scared by how you've dealt with their brethren, or whether it's just good luck. But you get to a point where you can see light in the distance coming in around a bend. The tunnel starts to expand a bit. It gets somewhat larger. And you turn the corner into a pocket of sorts in here. It's a larger chamber. You can see that, like the rest of the tunnel, to some degree this was naturally occurring, but it has clearly been manufactured further to be a suitable outpost, a suitable guard station from his description. There are very few furnishings in here. You can see the smolders of a fire and a just hairline fracture in the ceiling above that's got like soot collected around it. You can see the absolutely tattered remains of a bedroll that is in complete disrepair. Damn thing must be 400 years old. And on the opposite wall, a huge glowing stretch of ley line pokes out. Again, it's like a vein of ore, but it is 15 feet wide and 10 feet tall of this 20 by 20 chamber. Its glow highlights everything that's in here. You can tell immediately there's no more need for the lantern. And Silas lets go of Jumbo, kind of hobbles over in that direction. His bedroll is against that wall, and he just plops down on it and kind of leans back against the wall and sighs heavily.
Here we are, the heart, so to speak.
I've never seen such a large collection of magical energies before naturally occurring.
Neither had we. I have to assume that's why Nash came here.
What does it feel like as we step closer?
It feels like what Silas described, that it is like warm, it is soothing, it's kind of a salve, but it's also just kind of tingly. It's just like there's an additional sensation to this that isn't bad, but doesn't belong. Kim, I think you notice that that scar you got from the Scuttler's acid, you can feel it starting to mend at a bit of an accelerated rate. And again, it tingles. It feels kind of weird. It doesn't feel quite right. But you can tell that, I mean, just being in proximity to this, it's reaching out.
Wow, this thing is powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just feel it radiating off. I hold my hands up in front of me, like over a campfire.
They feel warm.
Even in its corrupted state, it still wants to aid life. Like, I know that doesn't really matter in this context, but we've studied magic for years and there are all these different kinds of theories about it, but even as a corrupted magic, this magic still wants to lend itself to creation.
It's a force of nature.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. You can't even flip it. You can get in its way, but it's going to do what it's going to do.
You're right, Rev. It wants to create. I guess it's just manipulated in what is created.
All right, so how do we clean it?
Well, first I think we got to figure out what happened to it. And I'd like to try to get a vision of what Nash did here.
Okay. Regardless, I think this is a big one.
Yeah.
You're going to be going weird at a level 7.
That's what I would have posited, because that's what gets short but detailed, and I think that's what we need in order to figure out what's going on here, are the details.
Yep, and even barring the specificity of the vision, reaching back centuries to get it.
Yeah.
Roll it.
All right. So this is going to be with a -1 in total.
Can I aid with this?
Oh, God, can't you, please?
Like, can this be a teamwork? Can I make a ritual circle for her to be in to, like, help cast that vision back?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Megan, you got any way to teamwork this?
Yeah, I want to help Kim kind of redirect how she usually sees into the past. Like, usually she's able to get a very clear vision of what happened, what was going on. I want to channel that into his thoughts and feelings and emotions and intentions to get a clearer picture of not only like what he did, but how and why as well.
Okay. Then everybody roll to go weird at level 7.
All right.
8.
10.
Okay. A full success is a full success. So Rev, you stabilize the magic within this circle. Megan, you channel your empathic magic. And Kim, your eyes go white. You see through Silas's eyes. From your perspective, you're on the ground, looking up at Nash. And he doesn't look too awful different from how you are all used to seeing him. As far as the variance of time between your world and this one, it must be significant. Because this is your Nash, and it's not that long ago for him. But he wipes his hands on a rag of Silas's blood and tucks it back into his pocket. And he lays one hand on the ley line, and then the other. And you see him start to mutter, and it grows louder into a chant that he is verbalizing a spell. You see the veins in his arms and in his neck turn black, and his hands sink in to the ley line, like he's phasing through it. And then whatever is in his veins seems to work its way down and out, down his arms, out of his hands, directly into the core of this ley line. And you see it run black for a moment, like he has dumped ink into it. But that black seems to just get washed away and swept up by the rest of the magic coursing through before he withdraws his hands and again pulls out that rag and kind of wipes them clean and looks down at you, throws the rag at you, and walks out. And then your vision clears.
Silas, do you still have a handkerchief on you?
I beg your pardon?
A handkerchief. You had a handkerchief centuries ago. Do you still have it?
He starts to like look around in the tatters of his bedroll, and he reaches under like a fold of cloth and pulls out, I mean, just the ghost of a rag, like just this threadbare, barely holding on chunk of cloth. This?
Yeah. I saw through your vision, Silas. I saw Nash, our Nash. He wiped his hands of Silas's blood on that rag and then plunged his hands into the stone around the ley line and was the corruption. It came from him, his essence. I saw his veins turn black and then that black energy go into the ley line. And then he wiped his hands of that corruption. It looked like ink onto that same rag and threw it at you, Silas.
He grumbles. Yes, I remember. What's your point?
There might be a sample of it.
Yeah. There are people here who are much more magically brained than I am, but the fact that that is an object that Nash touched that has his essence, the corruption that went into this ley line, I don't know. It could be important in terms of getting it out.
I'll look at Rev. Could you use it as like a marker to identify what needs to be drawn out?
Yeah, let's look at it first. I mean, it could be, God, corruption that came from him. It could be death magic. It could be something like vampiric that he could do. It all just depends, I guess, what it actually is. Yeah, I want to take a look at the remnants of this rag and see if it looks, is it like ichor or...
I'd like to spend a gear charge to have a My First Chemistry set on me and pull up a little microscope.
I want to like hybridize a couple of moves.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do that? Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
You're in charge here.
Okay. Because I feel like this is, it's like an investigate.
Mm-hmm.
You are scrutinizing something, but it is specifically something weird.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is like a roll plus mind plus weird instead of plus soul plus weird.
Oh.
Or plus mind plus investigate. I feel like it's a split therein.
Yeah. Listen, we've explained all of the rules and done them correctly so far. So now we've got the leeway to...
100%. 100%.
Now we can stray from God's light.
And like, what is playing TTRPGs if not just making it work at your table?
Yeah, making a lot of on-the-fly rules calls.
And I'm sure this game this game allows you to make custom moves.
That's true.
So this is a magical investigation move.
All right, roll plus mind plus weird.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Six.
Oh, no.
I know. That's like the highest bonus to a roll I could have gotten. I do have 1 point of grit left, so I think I'm going to spend it, and I'm going to... And man, I'm the Arcanist.
Yeah, you are.
I'm no magic shit.
All right.
Not according to that roll, but with this grit, I do.
Okay. Spend your point of grit. That'll bump you up to a seven.
Yeah.
So... I'll give you one relevant fact, a la investigate.
Okay.
You can get a bead on what kind of magic this is. It's not death magic. You can tell that this was before he bonded with death. It's not anything inherently vampiric, but he was like the vessel for this black magic. And he was able to do that because he's a vampire. He could survive this. He could survive like basically being the vial for this poison.
Hmm.
So you are able to kind of pick up on that magic's trace signature. But you realize it needed a vessel to get in. It's going to need a vessel to get out.
Okay, so yeah, he was carrying this inside of him, but it wasn't death magic. It wasn't vampiric magic. It was whatever it was, this corrupt force. I don't know if it was magic or poison, but he could carry it inside of him because he was a vampire. Like his regeneration or whatever was strong enough to allow him to bring it here and then dump it into this magic. So... We can get it out, but it's got to come out into someone.
Does the person that takes it in have to be the one to draw it out, or can it be drawn into anybody?
Oh, like could someone be a conduit to move it into another person who is the vessel?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is it like a I'll be the one to draw it out, and so I'm the one that has to take it in situation?
That would be my assumption. I think that I could move the magic out of the ley line into another person. If I did that, I think I would just have to be prepared for the possibility that it does stay in me as opposed to go to that other person. That I don't think we can know without testing it.
I mean, I don't think there's any way that one of us could survive something like this unless someone here is keeping a secret I don't know about. I wonder if there's a way to possibly spread that corruption amongst all of us. Like, sure, one person might not be able to survive a full dose, but if we all have a piece of it?
Yeah, I mean, one of us, we wouldn't survive it. It might be debilitating, but the more people we could spread it out amongst, it might not be as bad.
I just lean up against the wall and sink to the ground. We don't know what this is. I mean, it could be even a little bit of it is fatal if you're not a vampire.
We do... know a couple of vampires.
We do.
Any that you want to trust with that kind of raw, destructive power?
Only one, and he's not in this world.
Silas plants a hand on the ground and starts trying to get to his feet.
I'll do it. From the sound of it, y'all got a lot left to do, and from the look of it, you're all a hell of a lot better at it than I am. I had one job, fucked it up, but I can make good on it now.
I get up and go over to him. You didn't fuck it up. Protecting the world, any world, is too big a job for any one person to have to take on. You were put in an impossible situation, and you somehow made it through to the other side. We definitely can't ask this of you. And I am racking my brain trying to find another way. And I look at everyone. I just don't think we have any time.
I don't have the things I would need to build something that could absorb and contain that kind of energy. If I had the lab, If I had the lab back home, I could, but you're right, we don't have the time.
What do you mean you don't have time? What are you all in such a hurry towards? I thought you took care of the circle or whatever. You broke down what I had my wards tethered to.
There's one left, the center one, and bringing down that other ward, we lost one of our team, and we think we can bring them back, but we can't do it here.
I am truly sorry to hear that. Losing a member of your order is never easy.
Even if we do clear the corruption from this place and accomplish everything we're here to do, if you take this on, it's going to leave this unprotected. You're the last of your kind here. There's no one else to pass on this knowledge.
Well, if I clean this out and y'all take care of whatever other boogeymen are out there, shouldn't be no need for anybody to guard it no more. Say there's one left at the center?
The top of the spike.
Yeah.
I felt it. I don't know what it is, but the ley lines run strong through every bit of this. He kind of like lays his hand on it and like traces the hand up towards the ceiling. Sometimes I can feel it leeching. I don't know that cleaning it up would take care of it. Might make taking care of it easier. And I don't know a lot about this whole afterlife or coming back business, but like we've been talking about, a ley line's supposed to be life. It's supposed to be creation. So if there's anywhere you might bring your friend back, and he just pats that vein in the wall, I'd think this might be it. Who knows? Maybe if we get it cleaned up, the old girl will be grateful. She'll give us a miracle.
I think my eyes are just darting around to everyone here and down to the ground and like just trying to rack my brain for something that could contain this. But that knowledge of no one that we can trust and no one that doesn't leave us in a place where we can't do what we're supposed to do in the near future. I think I let out a sigh and I look at Silas. When I first joined the Order, they're always hesitant to give you places to guard. They're much smaller and more spread out than what you have here. But there are things out there that want them. They want to feed on them. They want to use them for things that would corrupt the magic. And they always warn you that if things go sideways, keeping the magic clean or letting the magic go is way better than letting the magic become corrupt, whatever the cost. You've had a very long service of duty. Your brothers would be proud of you.
He sets a hand on your shoulder. I'd be happy to know that we have such a capable brother to carry on the knowledge. I would have liked the opportunity to get a drink with you and pick your brain. Maybe in the next life. I'm going to need you young bucks to walk me through this. It's a bit above my pay grade.
I cannot believe how emotional I am about a character I literally met today.
Yeah.
I'm crying and I'm heartbroken and I've literally never heard the name Silas Cold Iron before today. And I'm devastated.
Yeah. Yeah, I will take Silas over to the ley line and chalk out like the hand motions that he needs to make, like the patterns on the ley line so that he can just move his hand along the chalk for it to allow him to draw the energy out and into himself. And then I will set the spell up to have a short duration so that the energy then flows back into its original position.
Kim and Megan, are you working on anything? Are you aiding this effort in any way?
Yeah, absolutely. At least I'm going to try. Let me know what you think of this. So we've talked about how this magic in this ley line is life. It has this desire to create. It has a purpose. In a sense, it is a living being. I want to try to reach out and connect with that intention and that energy and prompt it to flow, kind of like speeding up the filtration process, moving it, pushing it through this magical filter to more quickly cleanse it from every like far reach.
Okay.
I probably need Rev's help with this. I heard the incantation that Nash was saying to pull this out of him. So I think I am like repeating it to Rev and just trying to figure out like, what did this mean? And then what would one say in order to pull it out? Like, this is what I heard. What's the reverse of this?
Perfect. So this is going to be a ritual. Again, I think this is as big as they come.
Fair.
But it is also, again, a teamwork. So why doesn't everybody roll to go weird at level 7?
10.
9.
10.
All right. You walk Silas through this incantation, and he starts to chant, and his hands sink into the ley line, and you see this dark wash get dragged out, and his veins in his arms turn black, and it runs up his arms towards his shoulders. You can see it up his neck, past the collar of his shirt, and his chant becomes labored. He gets louder. You can tell that he's trying to compensate for the pain. He's trying not to waver as this takes him over. But you see his wrists start to cleanse that black energy in his veins, ceasing as if he has pulled all of it, and it runs up his arm, comes down from his neck as if it is gathering in his torso. And he withdraws his hands from the ley line, and he turns around.
Give him hell. And he collapses.
The Crit Show is a Crit Show Studios production, edited and produced by Brandon Wentz, with music by Jake Purley. You can find more information about us at thecritshowpodcast.com. To keep up to date with upcoming live shows, contests, and other special events, follow us at The Crit Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For even more weekly content, join us at patreon.com/thecritshow.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Are you two still awake?
Dad, we're too excited!
You'll be tired at Mockery Manor tomorrow, and it's bigger than ever, so you really do need to sleep.
Daddy, tell us about the new expansion!
Okay, okay.
Yay!
Once upon a time, there was a wonderful place, Mockery Manor. Everyone loved it, but sometimes it felt lonely. The manor longed for a companion, so they built a whole new park right next door and called it Claytonville. And it was the
rootinest, tootinest place you ever did see.
Yee-haw!
Hop on board the brand new Mockery Railroad all the way to Claytonville. Toot toot! In Claytonville, there are 4 cowboy lands to explore. Lasso a goat in Farmin Valley. Kiss your girl's best friend in Lovelorn Town.
Stop it, Terry.
And in Cowboy Christmas Town, hop on down to the Bluegrass Grotto to meet Cowboy Santa.
Ho, ho, hold down!
And are you brave enough to ride the wildest ride in Claytonville? Look out, it's the Four Spurs Pine Train.
To go to Mockery Manor and Claytonville.
2 parks in one and only $19.99 for a family of 4.
And how about you? Yeah, that's right. You, listening to this. Are you ready to come back to Mockery Manor? Season 3, available now.